What's up, guys? Welcome to the Comfort Zone Podcast, Season 1, Episode 1. Me and Dalton here, coming live. Our main...
Wing's really working for you, ain't it?
Yeah.
I'm Dalton.
Brandon.
Yeah, so basically, our main thing is we want to talk about people being in business for themselves, whether it's like we do with cell phone repair, flipping houses. We've got some home inspectors that are going to come talk with us. We got some musicians that are going to come talk with us. It's just, we want to talk about getting out of your comfort zone and pursuing a dream and kind of the ins and outs with work, life, and balancing that together.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it that people don't see from the outside. Everybody usually thinks it's unicorns and rainbows and you got the flexible schedule and you hear, oh, you own your own business, you have money.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's not always the case. A lot of people don't talk about that. They just talk about, oh, you're a business owner, because, you know, the numbers are really low on business owners here in America that are small business owners like us that actually succeed and make it.
Yeah,
so I mean, luckily enough, thank God, we're here. We actually have a successful business with the cell phone repair and another successful business, you know, with flipping houses and getting into the real estate, which is a new venture for us, which kind of got us started on this because we were like, man, there's not a lot of information out there for people who are new like us. You see a lot of the people that are like, oh, they're super successful. Yeah, they made it. But, you know, we're starting from ground zero to doing our first flip. And so, you know, we kind of want to start there, I think, with the first couple and just kind of show you guys how we started with networking, with real estate agents, with meeting people. Dalton had a lot of connections and made a lot of relationships there within that business. And it's been fun. And there's so much that goes into it that we had no idea, and we just felt like there was a need to speak it. And so here we are. I mean,
yeah, which the need hasn't always been something like, oh, hey, we want it to be about us. We're going to come talk. What it comes down to is we do a lot of dumb videos, and we do a lot of stuff with different businesses, and we like to have fun at work. We've just had a few people reach out. I was like, dude, y'all need to do this. So we're going to try it. One thing I want to touch on that you said was you were talking about work, right? So, like, how many times do you – because I hear this all the time. How many times do you hear, man, all y'all do is play golf? How do you have time to do these things and still, you know, earn a living, especially from family?
Oh, every day.
Yeah.
And friends.
Oh, yeah.
What are you going to the office today? No. Oh, are you playing golf?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I do other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mainly.
Pick up kids.
Housewife. Yeah. Laundry.
Yeah. And for you guys that are watching, we're new to this, so I think it's going to be a little easier when we have a guest to have the conversation. So when it's just me and Brandon, which we're going to try to keep an even balance of just us versus us with the guest. We're going to be talking to each other and talking to the camera. So
yeah, this is our first like podcast setting where you're really having a conversation.
Yeah.
We're not really like making a video promoting the business or talking about selling something. We're just talking. So yeah,
believe it or not, we do some of our videos. Our best videos were very unscripted where we winged it, but, it took multiple takes to get one out. Most of the time you put a camera on this guy and it's a lot.
It's fun.
Yeah. No. Okay. Let's talk about that for a minute. We shot a commercial just to tell everybody what we're talking about. We shot a commercial for the theaters to go in the local theaters to go beforehand. We talked about it about a year ago and just didn't feel like it was worth the money. We don't know that it is or isn't. But we were like, you know, let's do it for a year. Let's try it. It was, I don't know, 4,000, somewhere around there for the year. But we shot our own commercial, and it is it's stupid. I don't have a better way to say it.
It's like a, yeah, it's like a Napoleon Dynamite / Step Brothers comedy. Yeah. You know, it's
30 seconds.
You can't take yourself too serious and watch it.
No. And then that's talking about that is getting uncomfortable, right? Getting comfortable in front of a camera, being goofy. I mean, he had a wig on, long hair wig. I'm
good.
Yeah. So, I mean, and we're using like weird voices and basically the premise to it, if you haven't seen it, the video will be on the same places that we post this, so you can go find it pretty easily. But it's one of our company names is ETX Phone Repair, and everybody thinks it's East Texas Phone Repair or all that. And for a long time, we had all our marketing said We Fix Phones, so people would call and say, "Hey, is this We Fix Phones?" So
yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. But I had one of our employees. He'd answer the phone and say, "Hey, this is East Texas Phone Repair. Thanks for calling. Hey, this is East Texas Phone Repair. Thanks for calling." And I was like, "Hey, man, it's ETX Phone Repair. It's not East Texas Phone Repair." He goes, "Well, what does ETX stand for?" I was like, "Not East Texas." You know, I didn't have an answer for him. And I was calling Brandon one day, and we were trying to talk about what we were going to do for the commercial. I was like, "Well, just ad-lib some stuff, record it, so if we come up with something funny, we'll do it." And I walk outside, and I video, and the first thing that comes out of my mouth is, "Yeah, a lot of you guys think East Texas Phone Repair ETX Phone Repair stands for East Texas Phone Repair." Well, it doesn't. It actually stands for Extremely, Totally Extreme Phone Repair. So if you can kind of get the vibe of what we did with the commercial,
very
mattress commercial from the 90s, big commercials. So, yeah, my family loves going to the movie theater and seeing my face on the big screen acting a fool.
Yeah. I need to take mine because they would love it.
Yeah, I could see your kids being hyped.
Oh, I'm sure. I wouldn't want to go with them. They'd be like, "That's my dad."
Well, the first time we watched it, I'm sitting with Chelsea and my parents came and Jensen's over there eating popcorn. And we see it and I was like, "That was me." And Chelsea turned bright red and embarrassed.
Yep.
You know. But, okay, so let's go into, I actually used to work for Brandon. So I was 18 or 19. Came and worked for you at the cell phone repair shop. You had another business partner.
We hired Dalton. He came in. I think he was our third employee, third or fourth that we had tried. Actually, no, if you count for the other stores, probably fifth or sixth. Nobody really made it more than 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
And Dalton hung in there, lasted longer than most.
Yeah.
We ended up opening.
It wasn't always the employee's fault, by the way, why they didn't make it. Yeah.
We'll dive into that later.
Yeah. Let's speak up a little bit, too. I heard the AC kick on.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how that's going to get with these cheap microphones. Keep in mind, too, we just started this. We just painted this wall. We're going to get this set up for where we could have up to 4 people on the pod. Still working on getting microphones and everything that we need to get it set up where it's clean and good quality, but bear with us until then.
He came in, you know, and we had Pablo was my other business partner, which he was 10 years older than me, which kind of helped get me out of my shell. I think that's another day to talk about how me and him got into business together and how everything worked out. But
and we'll have him on the pod.
He'll come hang out with us. But it's we had Dalton. He worked for us here, Sulphur Springs, back and forth. Where'd you go after that?
When I got married. When I got married, I went and sold cars. So I went to a dealership, I won't say their name, in Longview, and I did not do well at all there. And talking about comfort zone, a big part of it was for me was I went into an area that I didn't know a lot about. I knew I could build connections. I was always good with people. You know, didn't really know what networking was at the time. Didn't know how to build a pipeline. But I felt like, okay, I can sell. And I was pretty much bullied at this dealership and didn't, and you know me, I'm not somebody that's easy to bully. My mouth gets a hold of me, but you know, I'm newly married. I'm young. And I'm like, no, I need to take this and learn. And I learned a lot, but I also learned a lot of what not to take and what not to do. So when I left that dealership and went to another dealership, you know, one of the first things I did in the interview was like, hey, I'm not good with X, Y, Z. I'm not worried about showing here at 7:30, leaving here, you know, 9 o'clock at night. You know, I'm going to sell what I'm going to sell. I don't want to draw. I just want to get paid on what I sell. And I want to try it a different way, which if any of you guys have been in a dealership, that's not how they work. So,
no.
I went to a different dealership in Texarkana, and, you know, it was an hour drive from me. So, you know, you work a lot of hours at a dealership, and I did a lot better at that dealership where I was given the opportunity to be more my own, you know, schedule my own boss in a way. Like, I had bosses and stuff, but, like, that was the first job I took that was like, you need me here as much as I need to be here. Like, I'm bringing you money. That's why you're hiring me.
Right.
And that was the first time I had that mindset as an employee of like, yes, I'm working for a company to a certain level of respect. Cause me and Brandon didn't ever bump heads. Me and Pablo bumped heads a little bit because I was young. And then I went and did a polar opposite and just took everything, didn't open my mouth, and kind of had to find that balance of like, you know, respect for your people that are hiring you, but also respect for yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, had two edges of that spectrum at 19. So by the time I was married and going into this dealership, I was a little bit more confident in what I could do. So I was able to set those boundaries ahead of time.
Yeah. Which plays into like the respect of the people you work for and respect for yourself. Me and Dalton got along really well and always had a good relationship even after he went and sold cars, and I was still here at the cell phone repair. And so Pablo ended up getting into the real estate, and I bought him out completely four or five years ago. Dalton was at the right place and right time to buy into himself and come on board with me. And how long has it been?
Almost a year and a half. It's not quite 2 years. When Pablo was buying out, you had called me. I think you talked to Cole. You talked to me.
Yep.
And was seeing if somebody wanted to do that. And at that time, I had left the car business and was working for a different company, a corporate company. But I worked for two other cell phone providing companies that I did really well in. And it didn't, you know, at the time, I was like, I always wanted to be self-employed because, like I said, that's the mindset I had. But that fear was still there because I was like, man, I make really good money. I can do this job and retire. You know, I can work for somebody. And there's nothing wrong with that. That just wasn't my end goal. Yeah, and I didn't do it at the time. And then, like he said, right time, a few years later, the company I was working for that I won't name, was making some changes that I didn't agree with, both because of how it treated me financially and some ethical things. Our department ended up getting shut down, took a severance, and was like, all right, I'm ready. So
it's kind of where we worked out. Yeah.
We started, and definitely got busy right off the bat. And one thing when we came in is like, hey, we need to revamp. Kind of been here a long time, a little bit complacent. And after 3 months, 4 months, we remodeled, changed a bunch of stuff, rebranded. Things were going good and had employees, so didn't have to be here as much. Started playing a lot of golf.
A lot of golf, man. It was fun.
Yeah, so got back to kind of that complacency. And pretty much got to a point where like, all right, we do have time. We need to be doing something else. And in the meantime, we've tried several different things, some that are okay, some that weren't worth the time. Brandon spent a few thousand dollars on a 360 camera that we were going to rent out, but then neither one of us wanted to go to a wedding to do them.
It's still in my garage. Nobody wants to use it.
Yeah. We're going to use it for one of our employees' weddings. So,
yeah.
But
I was all for it. I was like, man, I'm going to make a killing on this thing. I'm going to take it to ball tournaments and dance competitions and pay for my hotels. And
but then you guys
still sitting in the just garage. Go there. I'm like, yeah, it's because that's part of the process of elimination when you're looking at stuff to do when you've already been successful and you're at that place, like Dalton said, where you have a little time now. You might not even have a lot of money, but you have the time to invest into something. Do you want to buy a job? You know, are you willing to give up your weekends to, you know, have a side gig? And at the time, I thought I was until I actually got into it, and I'm like, man, this I can't do it because I'm chasing schedules with the ball. You know, I'm not going to miss Jackson's game just to go set up this camera, even though I'd probably make 200 or 300 bucks.
I think you make more than that. I think there's definitely
I'm talking
money
about during a
there.
game, you
Oh,
know, like
yeah.
1 hour, like I
Yeah.
know it would have done well. And the dance competition is the same way. Like I wish, which, you know, Landon, I hope you're watching this. He's a little older now. He could probably go set that thing up and make some money on the
Yeah.
weekends, so he's not just sitting out in the stands because he complains all the time. Plus, he costs me 50 bucks a weekend at the concession stand, so he might could pay his own
It's
way.
a little generous,
Yeah, it is.
but
I mean, I should have said a day.
yeah. I think I, so just to kind of give a little bit more insight on like how our partnership works though is both of us are pretty big on like we'll get excited, we get overboard on some of the ideas, but like for instance that one, he buys it and he comes to me and hey, if you don't want anything to do with this, that's fine. If you do, let's do something, we'll work out, you know, what's gonna happen. He's like, I don't, you know, you can pay me back your half of the equipment if we start making money. If you
Yeah.
don't, I'll just keep it. I'll use it on personal stuff and all that stuff. But part of what I do is like networking. So, you know, while he's doing that, he's kind of working on the software side, trying to figure out how this thing operates, figuring out the setup. Well, I go into the marketing side. I start creating logos. I start calling venues. I start getting, you know, connections with all this stuff to get it set up. And that's where when he's working on his thing and I'm working on my thing and we go sit down, we realize this is a full-time job.
Yeah,
This
it's
isn't a
a
side gig. And you know, it'd have been nice to know it before he spent the 3 grand or whatever,
yeah, I
but
mean,
you know,
but
but there's some
that's
things you just gotta, you have to have the willingness to try something,
right.
you know?
Just like he said, our partnership, it's funny because that's how it still is, even on a bigger scale. The small side of it was, hey, I'm gonna do this. I'm not gonna really ask for permission. I'm gonna spend the money and I will deal with it later. That's me. I'm more like, let's go do it. Dalton is like, he gets excited and he wants to do everything and he will if it's his idea. But I'm more like, I'll reel him in, he'll reel me in. So we're really a good like blend because we keep each other from doing dumb stuff.
Yeah, if you'd have called me before buying
You
it,
probably
I
would have been
might
like,
have
no, I
talked
don't
you
buy
out of
this. But because I
it.
wasn't asking for any money, I was just like, I don't need anybody's permission.
Yeah.
Even Courtney was like,
Yeah, his
dude,
wife Courtney didn't even
what
know
are you
about it until it
doing?
showed up.
I was like, this thing's cool. We're gonna get rich.
Yeah. But then like so that's okay, we'll talk about that. That's how you pitched it. You bought it already and said, I want to
Yeah,
do
here, let's
this,
do
okay?
this.
I had one that I pitched. And this one I actually really enjoy, but it's at the level of hobby. Like we don't make money on it, but we don't lose money on it. It's one of those
Yeah.
deals to where like we get enough in return for doing it that it's still worth the time, but it's also something that has the potential to grow if we really wanted to do it. And in all honesty, down the road, if we have, you know, a little more cash flow, we want to hire somebody in to handle it for us, we could. But it was a spice company. We have it's called Tasteful Texan Spice Co. and make barbecue rubs and stuff like that. My belly's hidden in the camera most part, but I'm a bigger dude. I like to eat. I like to cook.
Me too.
So my thing was is like, Brandon, I don't think I've ever cooked for you before this. I mean, most of
No,
the
not
time it's
really.
just,
Because we'd go out to eat if we
yeah,
met. Y'all come to Texarkana or
or it's a
wherever.
catered Super Bowl party or
Yeah, I
something.
mean.
But so I was like, hey man, let's go play golf. Let's go to Sam's Club. We'll buy some steaks. I got something I want to cook for you. I'm gonna show you. And he kind of knew what I was doing, but didn't. I don't think we had talked about the ins and outs of it.
No, I was thinking it, you know, I wasn't prepared to see how, you know, involved the ingredient list was. I thought it'd be like three or four things you bought at Walmart, you know. So to see it, the ingredient list, to taste it, smell it, like it was, I was like, all right,
So
I'm,
it was pretty good. It is good.
it is good. I
If
mean,
you're
that's,
local to Mount Pleasant, we're in a Mason's Hardware, True Value. So check them out there.
And I got a free ribeye. So
yeah. So, but yeah, so that's how I present it. I'm like, hey, I got something to show you. I'm gonna cook for you and your family. I want, you know, Brian to taste it. I want to hear everybody's opinions. What you think of it? Would you put your name on it? So there's a little differences in how we present things to each other, but
got to the same place, same result, but different ways.
No, we've made zero money on yours. We've made at least our money back on mine.
Crap. I'm going to take that thing out this weekend.
Yeah, okay. We'll see.
Hot Springs.
No, you're not.
Come see me in Hot Springs. Baseball field.
This isn't going to be uploaded until after that weekend. So next time we record, we'll see if you actually did it or not.
You know I won't.
No. The funny thing is, we argue on whose idea this one is because we talked about it.
That's my idea.
It is.
Ain't no doubt.
No. It is my idea.
I'm older.
I brought this to you before we were even partners. I said, hey, this would be awesome.
There's no
before
way,
we were partners.
I really would tell you if I thought it was your
idea. Here's the thing. The fact that it's not super successful, I'm good with it being your idea. But
it's the best out of those three.
Oh, for sure. For sure. It is. No. Yeah. Seasoning's the best.
No. I mean, money-wise.
Yeah. Yeah. But because it's, like he said earlier, buying yourself a job. I believe, and I think Brandon would agree, if we could put 40 hours a week into Tasteful Texan Spice Co., I think it would gross within 3 years. It gross what the cell phone repair does. I mean, I really think you could if you get those right purchasers from different stores to buy.
I think so.
But we just don't have the time for that. It's buying a job. Where the other idea, which I will say his, I'll give 100% credit for the name. It's called Massage Therapist.
I love it.
Yeah. So here's how it's my idea. I was sitting in a massage chair at the mall watching my wife shop. And I was like, man, this is awesome. I done fed this thing $20. So I hit up Brandon and was like, hey, you ever sit in these? He's like, yeah, I love those. They got them at the jump place that I go to or whatever. So that's where, like, he's probably had the same idea, but I'm the one that brought it to him. So
I don't remember that, but.
So I'm trying to find locations for him. I'm like, hey, let's find locations for them. We'll order them. We'll get them put in. We'll schedule it beforehand.
This is our different.
Brandon's like, let's just buy them. We'll find locations. Yeah, we'll put up with the pressure on us.
Buy them now. We'll deal with it later. And Dalton's like, let's find the locations. We know we'll be good. We're not going to lose any money then. And I'm like, no, we got to just buy them. Do it.
So, do it. So we bought them. 5 chairs. $15,000?
So it was the reason we bought 5 too is because if you buy 1, 2, 3, or 4, it was a certain price. But if you blocked it in at 5, it was a big savings for 5. So we had like 2 locations at that point. One was our cell phone repair. So
that made no money except for the money we fed it.
Which that'll be another podcast day because I can't disclose our next location just yet. But we do have something good in the works for those chairs, so I think they're going to do really well. But
a year after purchasing them,
So I'm not condoning my theory on things because I think it works for certain people. I will say, without Dalton, it would be hard to not think like I think because I know how he works. He knows how I work. I'm more a visual person. If I see the chairs here, it's going to stir him up, and he's going to go out there and do it.
Well, by the way,
we
have a brand new chair in the box 3 feet away from me behind me right now.
Yes.
That we do have a location for that we can't disclose just yet, but it's been sitting there. It's
been there for a minute. I have one in my living room right now. Yeah. Actually, we had a location that moved.
I went to his house the other day, and he's just got like about a $50 to $60 stack of $1 bills sitting on the couch that with the key. So him and his kids can just feed it and sit and watch TV while getting the massage and then open it up to him.
It's worth it just for that.
Yeah. So that's why he enjoys the chairs more. I just, you know, don't get to use one.
Yep. Yeah, we kept that one in the box. We're trying to keep it pristine, but
yeah,
I mean,
which was our original plan was to get 4 locations, keep one for backup for parts or if something goes down long term. But
and from the outside looking in, because I can see it from my wife's perspective and stuff like that. You know, it's like it seems like we're chaotic, but really there's a lot that goes into the thoughts that we have and the things that we do when it comes to spending money like that. And it is very calculated. I know it doesn't seem like it is, and the way we talk about it, it's like we just did it. That's not the case. Even with the chairs, this stuff was months
Yeah,
in
it was,
advance and talking about it. And
other than
yeah, so
your
I mean, but
buying
the thing
the
is, and this is the
360,
reason
yeah.
we're having this podcast, is because some people are afraid to take the leap. They won't get out of their comfort zone. And that's where once you kind of do it once, it starts becoming almost a habit, and you know the ways to do it. You know how the money works. You know what to look for, who to talk to. And if you don't know, you know that you just have to get out there and do it. Because I mean, you know, that whole massage chair world was, we didn't know about the laws. We didn't know about permits. We didn't know about any of that stuff. If we needed to have
How a
stuff through the
POS
state,
system can work through it,
right? I
yeah.
mean, a lot of stuff that we had to figure out even before we bought, and stuff we still have to figure out now. I mean, but I think the main thing is not being sporadic or chaotic, like I said, in your decision making, but being calculated and not being scared to take a risk.
Yeah, and what we're learning with real estate is having multiple exit strategies if that said business doesn't work out. So like if we really went down to it, we bought them at fairly above. So there's two ways to buy massage chairs, just if anybody ever wants to do it. So you can buy through an authorized dealer, which is going to be a United States dealer. None of these chairs are made in the States. So we have our import license. So we could technically direct buy from China, which you have to buy freight, which means you're going to buy them for, I mean, not pennies on a dollar, but like
It was
75%
a
less
lot
per chair.
less.
You can buy direct from China. They'll ship into Houston port, and then you just have to pay to get them from on the crate, basically from Houston to wherever your location is. The big thing is you got to buy 22
Yeah, it was a
when you
lot
do that.
more on those, and
But
I mean, we
it wasn't.
it wasn't.
So just to tell you, we spent right at 15K for five. It was like 20. Like 5K
It
for
was like a
22.
yeah, it was
It was not. So.
But I think another factor was, 'cause that was for the chairs, it was going to cost us I want to say, if I'm right, it was going to be like 6 or 7 grand for freight after
Yeah,
that.
yeah.
So
And then getting it here, which I had some connections and
it
you
would
did
have
too. We could have got them here
definitely would have
cheap.
been better to have 22 for
Yeah.
that price, but you know, at the point we kind of weighed our
We didn't have a place to store them.
options.
We're like, hey,
Yeah,
that's the other thing is if we do that, is it a year or 2 years before we have them all in locations? Or are we gonna have to store them, pay $80 because or $100 or whatever it is because they got to be climate controlled. So like, there's a lot of that. And the big thing with what I was getting to with it is with the massage chairs, buying them and not having a location for them. Didn't hurt us the way I thought it was, because even if we had a location for them, there's so many locations that we put them in that did not work out at first, right? So like we would have had to have that inventory to try the type of places to see where they're going to work beforehand. Like I'll tell you, our best chairs are in hair salons and tattoo shops. I mean, we put them in high traffic, high busy waiting rooms, didn't do well. And I think a part of it is like they'd be tucked in the corner, because that's the,
Location
yeah.
is key, and signage or something to get
Yeah.
people's attention.
Another thing is embarrassment. People aren't going to sit there in the chair with their body shaking, you know, in front of a room full of crowded people. So you want it where it's a high traffic area where people are going to be walking by it, but not,
To wherever you're just staring at everybody, you
yeah.
know, which I mean, the malls, they work, and you're right in the middle of a
But
crowded
usually they're
area, but
walking by. They're not stopping and sitting right next to you, like just watching you shake a little bit. Oh, one of the fun things with that was remember how, so there's three vents on that chair that kind of
Oh
compress your
man.
butt, and there's one that just goes right up your
Yeah, like a just a mohawk,
crack.
right? You
Credit
know,
card slip.
yeah, for sure, but
So
not a
we had
credit
a.
card, like a baseball bat.
So we called the company we bought them from and say, hey, how do we disable just that one
We're not trying to get sued for violating people with these chairs. This thing is aggressive.
Well, what was it I said? I said, we're the massage therapist, not the massage chair rapist. So, and
we had to just unplug a tube. She told us which number, and we did it on all of them.
Yep. Everyone we installed, which, believe it or not, the hair salon, they asked how to install it back in. They're like, well, we just feel like it needs to get the whole butt area. I was like, well, here's how you plug it in if you want to, but I recommend not having it there.
Ugh. But yeah, the exit strategy on those was buy in bulk. Whatever we can't get placed into a location, we'll sell because we bought them cheap enough.
Yeah.
So we kind of, our number at the time was 5. Even though we could have saved some more money and got a bunch more, we were still new to the business, that industry, that side of things. And on top of that, I think another thing that helped have the chairs was getting yeses, because it's hard to get when you're being honest with them and saying, hey, I'm going to order these, they don't take you very serious.
Yeah.
When you have them, like, hey, I have it, I can have it here today.
Which, that being said, most of the time, even if you have them in stock and you're going to do it, scheduling usually takes you a week to get there anyways.
Yeah.
And the company we ordered from, like, they showed up very quickly. Oh, man,
it was like 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were not prepared.
No, not at all. Like, we're at lunch, got done, like, eating, and we get a call, and there's a guy with a big 18-wheeler in our front of our office, like, hey, where do I put these? Everything's locked up. So we had to rush back and get them loaded. Barely fit through the door.
Yeah, they were huge.
Yeah, so that was a fun day.
That's been fun. I mean, that was another one that I just, honestly, I forget we have them. We check them pretty much now once a month.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's...
I go get my haircut at the salon that we do it at, so that one's easy. But I know, you know, I don't have any tattoos, so I'm not going to get tattoos every day. So I always forget to go check with Billy. But when's the last time you went to the other one?
Last month.
Yeah.
It's time for me to go. I need to go.
It takes 3 months for that one to make the same as the other ones in 1 month.
That was, and it's there's probably 10 times more people in there, but it's just not in the best area. But that I don't know if we've done anything else or spent any more money since then, but that's just a year and a half of me and Dalton being in business.
Well, okay, so this is something, you guys will meet JT if you're following us. He's a contractor that works with us on our flip houses. He's going to come on. Something that he does that I did when I first went into business myself is you want merch.
Oh, man.
You get something, you want your logo on everything, which is cool. You know, it's cool.
You should be proud.
Lighters,
you should be proud.
Decals, hats, you know, shirts, you know. You're going to, but you really got to think about the overhead on it. And, you know, as much as it's cool, you know, we got custom golf stuff with ETX phone repair on it.
Yeah, hats, koozies. I have koozies from 10 years ago.
I do too, the pink, yellow, lime green.
It's crazy. You know, that stuff is, I mean, it's good, but that's a great point, because when you're new, spend more on marketing. You know, I know Facebook's not as good as it used to be.
But shirt and hats is marketing. I will say, when it comes to that, if it's in your budget, you're going to wear it. Your family's going to wear it.
Yeah, people you're going to get to. That's more on the bottom end of, I need a little bit of an expense here, but let me market for myself at least. But, you know, you need to, you know, do Facebook. Google is better.
Word of mouth.
Add that up.
Word of mouth. If you're not asking for referrals, like, and it's not so much here, like in a cell phone repair shop, you know, 60 to 70% of our clientele is repeat customers. So that's awesome. But most of the time, and we have a great group of friends that if they see something on Facebook, they're tagging like, hey, ETX phone repair. But that, I think for new customers, builds us more new customers than anything, more than the...
Oh, it does, stuff, for sure.
Which he did. He said he called the other day, and an older guy calls and says, is this extremely, totally extreme phone repair? Because I need an extremely, totally extreme phone repair done on my phone today. And he's like, I was like, you tell me he gets a discount.
Yeah,
man,
for sure.
A discount.
But, I'm down now. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to take him to lunch.
Yeah. But, which, I mean, and I've heard a few people, like, I go to the dollar store, and they're the extreme guy. I'm like, but it's, you don't live here, so you don't see it as much, but.
Yeah,
but it has, like, it's done something. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it again or I'm not happy with the commercial, but that word of mouth is big. And I'm not saying when you get done, like if you're in a, you know, a sales environment and you get done, you pull out the paper and it's like, do you have five friends that could, you know, benefit right. from the same service you got today? I hate that crap.
Yeah.
But asking for the business for one, I mean, I see it all the time. One thing here is tempered glass. They're $5. We're selling for $5. Yeah. Somebody needs one. How many repairs we do a day if 25% of the people said yes to a tempered glass? That's an extra, you know, $8,000-$10,000 a year.
Yeah, it would almost pay our rent, you know,
for the year.
Really, just to ask people if they want a screen protector, which they do.
Yeah. So the thing is as simple as, like, it's not sales. It's just, I told all our employees, and I'm bad about forgetting to do it too, is every time you're checking somebody out, would you like a tempered glass for $5? They say yes. Great, I'll put it on for you. They say no. Okay, no problem. Move on. You're not giving a pitch. You're not doing it, but you're asking for business. And that is something that I think any business, regardless of what it is, I don't care if you're a lawn care guy and you're going door knocking and, hey, I can do it for this. And like, oh, I already got somebody. Ask them to use you. Like, however you want to word it, and be like, great, well, hey, I'll do this time for free. I'll do this time for free. If you like me, would you consider using me instead of somebody else? Yes, you're taking your time out of your day for whatever it is to do that, but you're asking for the business, and you may not get it, but you have to ask for the business. I had a manager that was at the dealership that I felt like I was bullied at a little bit. And when I mean that, I mean it was playful men bullying. It's just I didn't know how to take it. I wasn't mature enough to know how to take it and give it back to the appropriate amount. If I was to go work with those same guys now, like, I'm You'd a completely different person. They wouldn't even recognize me. You know what I mean? But the big thing is one of the things he said, I remember he was in a sales training, was he was telling a story about a guy that couldn't get the customer to close to buy the car. And he's like, did you ever ask him? Like, just reach out your hand and say, Mr. Customer, like, we're right there on it. We're very close. This is where we're at. Will you buy my car? Just as simple as that. And he went back in there and did it, and the guy bought that car. Now, that's not going to happen every single time, but ask for the business. If you've done your due diligence, you've marketed, you've built a name, you know you do good quality service or whatever it is, ask for the business.
Yeah, and I think when I first got started, I was green. I was younger than water. Dalton.
I'm not drinking after you. Hey, bring me a water. That's the nice part of employees.
Yeah. But, so, yeah, the main thing is for me was, like, I'm gonna fix these phones, right? And I'm going to have this or even DirecTV or whatever else I'm doing. At the time when I was young, I felt like I had to give everybody that I knew a discount. And it took me 4 or 5 years to be in business to realize that if they're really your friend or you know them that well, they want to give you the money and they got to pay somebody to do it.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't they pay you? Even if you don't get a discount or even if it's $5 or $10 more, they're supporting a friend. Cause that's the way I am. If I can support my friend, I'm going to before anyone else.
But there's areas that are easier for you to discount. Like, I can't, you come in with a Galaxy S22. True, yeah.
You gotta,
there's so much risk. The parts are so expensive. I can't really give a discount on that, no matter who it is.
Yeah.
The point is, you need a case or a tempered glass, I'll hook a friend up.
Your price is your price.
Yeah.
And just be, stand on that. And I mean, you can, where you have leniency and you can give a little bit to people you love, you should, but you shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to stand on your price and you know, be firm with it, because time is money and it is what it is.
On the other side of that, though, even with not necessarily friends or family, but just customers in general, goes back into not just asking the business, but earning the business.
Yeah.
Is half a loaf is always better than none.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes you don't want to sell yourself short, but there are times too where it's like, I could lose this because of my pricing, I said, or I could cut some losses and do this at a better rate that helps out. And I'll tell you, most of the deals we make with people, or most of the time when we're giving that, is it's repeat customers, but it's also people that you can just tell need it. And I have no problem doing it in those circumstances. The problem is we have had some that we do. Mm-hmm. And on that second or third time, they're like, well, you did it for this much that time. I was like, yeah, and you just,
it's a snowball.
I can't do it. I mean, that every time, you know, like I helped you out. You were in a situation like I helped you. I have no problem doing it, but like, that's not your price for life.
Price
now.
Lock.
You know, yeah. it is normal price. I can't, you know,
so that's happened a lot to us here and just in this industry. I don't know about most, but you know, it's a little harder for us because people do know this business is flexible. Yeah. And they, you know, you can look on Amazon or eBay and see how much parts cost. We don't hide anything from our customers too. That's something that I pride on, is we're very transparent. They know what we're worth. I mean, I'll tell them up front what labor is. You can look up the part yourself. I mean
labor, for standard labor, is anywhere from $60 to $150.
And with what we do,
depending on what the risk is. It does not matter on the phone so much.
Yeah.
It's the part cost. So, I mean, realistically, if I'm charging more than $100, that means that there's a risk that something could go wrong and now I have to buy somebody a $1,000 device. So at that point,
take a break.
Makes sense.
It's a school.
Okay. I'm
gonna pause. Bing.
Sorry about that. We got a call from my son's school. He getting his first spanking today. So, gotta learn how to act.
Yep, it happens on them days, man.
Yeah. But,
it's Thursday.
So, a couple other things that we wanted to talk about to finish up was basically time.
Yep.
We were talking about having a lot of free time, talking about having, what do you keep looking at over there?
Heath was talking.
Hey, stop talking to us.
I'm talking about having a lot of free time and how sometimes when you're busy, your family doesn't really understand because you've had so much free time that week and then something happens and like you're in crunch time. You have to handle stuff at the office, handle, speak with electricians at a flip, whatever it is, you know, you get busy. And it's not that they mean to take advantage of it, but sometimes that happens. Brandon has seen, we use my wife's side door for her office as a drive-through window because we're constantly bringing her coffees and snacks and whatever she wants to think. And she's like, well, if you don't bring it, I'm going to DoorDash.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And I know if I, my office is in Texarkana, Courtney would be the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Because I am running around with the kids all day when I am in Texarkana and home. And it's almost like whenever you're starting out, you know, and you don't have a lot of money and you're trying to save or you're trying to make more money at your job and you end up every year getting a raise, typically what do?
You spend
more money. And that's exactly kind of what I did in a sense, was as my business got more successful and I had more employees, I had more time, but instead of taking the time and putting it into my savings, I used it up, golfed, whatever I could with the kids, and now it's almost as, that it doesn't exist. I never really got that to where I could put that back into me. It was more, it got too comfortable for everybody.
Yeah.
And it, which is okay, because that was the reason I wanted to do what I do, is I want to be there for my kids and for my family. But I guess what my warning is just to be aware of it and use your time wisely and take advantage of when you do get more time to be smarter than what I was with it.
Have the conversations with your family. Cause I mean, the big thing is both of us are fortunate that our families are both a tremendous amount of help when it comes to picking up kids, getting kids to sporting events, getting them from daycare, school, watching them. You need a date night because you've been busy. So, like, we're both very fortunate with families that are very helpful. And you know, and then, like I say, they take advantage. It's not meant in like a spiteful or meanful or like, or even they mean to. It's just, oh, well, Dalton's not working tomorrow. He's, you know, doing this. He can do this. And, you know, sometimes when we go play golf, like what it is like, we'll need to meet in Texarkana, which is an hour out of the way for me. Or we'll need to meet in Mount Pleasant. It's an hour out of the way for you. And it's like, hey, if we're going to make that drive and we've got 2 hours worth of work that we have to do from 2 to 4.
Yeah.
Well, okay, well, let's do something to fill that morning up. Sometimes there is something with one of our businesses that we can do. But if there's not, and we want to take advantage of those times to go play golf, to go, you know, sometimes we've taken the kids bowling or something in downtime, and then they, you know, come hang out with us for the day if we have the kids. But the big thing is to not get complacent, and don't let your family get complacent to the aspect of like, oh, he went and did this, he's free all day. That's not always the case, because as somebody that's self-employed, your busy comes and goes. And there's a lot of 8 o'clock, 7:30 phone calls at night that you get because the real estate agent you're working with has been busy. He's been showing all day. So then when you've got the questions on an offer you're trying to do, that's the only time he can talk. Or, you know, first thing in the morning, inspector's got to be there at 6:30, 5:30. That's the only time he can do, because he's got other inspections to do. And now you got to get up early and do that. But then the rest of your day may be a normal day, but they're not seeing a little bit that you're doing at different odd hours. And sometimes, you know, I don't know if you deal with this, but like when you take that phone call at 7:30, 8:30 at night, and you're watching a TV show with your spouse, they're not usually happy about it. They're usually like, you worked all day, or you couldn't handle that, you know, during business hours. And it's, there's not really business hours when you're self-employed. It is any time that your phone rings that something that needs your attention need your attention. That's when you're working. So there is a lot of free time, but there is a lot of working when you really don't want to be working. Sorry, had our audio cut out. So the big thing is that I'm working on is I lost my train of thought because we stopped. What did I say?
You said when you were with that company.
Oh, okay, start over. So the big thing is trying to find that balance. When I was with another company, you know, I worked, I had a company phone, and I was salary, so I should technically have my phone all the time. And this is sometimes like, I'm not going to do that. I clock in at 8. I'm not really clocking in, but I get my company vehicle at 8. I'm done at 5. Sometimes I worked late because clients needed me. But when I pulled in my driveway and I turned the ignition off, my phone, my tablet, all my work devices stayed in there, and I was able to check out, but it wasn't my business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I had a salary plus a commission and all this stuff, and I was able to handle clients. I had my phone, you know, I say, hey, thanks for calling, I'll get back with you. From my callback time is this time to this time. And I would have an hour a day that was my callback time. That was when I got back with people. And there's a way to structure that in some businesses. But with us, especially, I mean, you have light guys. We have cell phone repair, Tasteful Texan, massage therapist, 88 Elite. You're doing so many things. You can't just say, all right, I'm turning my phone off this weekend because I'm on vacation. You know, you were in Mexico when we closed on, when we bought a house.
Yeah.
You know, you're in Mexico, and I was like, I need your signature. Can you get some Wi-Fi to, if I email you something? We're buying a house.
Yay.
So
luckily I had Wi-Fi.
Yeah. But, and this was a house we hadn't seen. I made a video on this before we close out, and I know we got one more thing to talk about to close out, but I never asked you. So, like, I'm in States, you're in Mexico, you're on vacation, you're having libations, you're working on a different realm of being than I am.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we get the call from David that they need us to buy this house. I don't remember the whole stories on it, but, like, I'm driving, so I'm halfway in a rush. We've been looking for a house, and we're ready to get started, and we're pretty much like, well, I trust David. Signed the contract, got you to sign the contract. And then went and looked and said, okay, where is this house? How much did we just agree to pay for this house? You know, which was not super smart, but everything worked out. But what was your feeling? Because you came, but you were excited.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but like, were you like, did you go to Courtney and be like, hey, we just bought a house? Or you're like, she'll find out when we get back home?
No, yeah. It was more like, I'm going to just tell her when we get home.
Yeah.
That was pretty, it was typical Brandon. Yeah. But that, because that's exactly what I do. And so I'm sure she wouldn't have been surprised. And she probably wasn't surprised when she found out. But I was, I mean, I wasn't really nervous. I trusted David, so I knew the numbers were going to be there. He's not a sporadic guy like that. He's going to make sure everything's.
He checks into stuff, but he
checks into things. But he's got his side of me, you know. So I respect that. But no, it was good. I was excited. I was ready for us to get one, and you know, just so happened I wasn't in the country when it happened. Yeah. So it worked out, and you know, now we're a couple weeks away from finishing that one and looking for another one. And
yeah,
you got to take those leaps and just take a risk sometimes and hope it works out.
Yeah, and what's crazy is we've looked at dozens now, like in person.
Yeah,
and we've made offers on a couple. Some of them we backed out for different reasons, but like the one we're most interested in now, we made an offer sight unseen, and it's probably the most likely for us to get. So it is. I remember getting into this and like hearing Pablo and all those guys, and they buy houses.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
Without seeing them all the time. And it's like, how can you comfortably do that? But even after just doing it once, I'm a lot more comfortable doing it.
It's insane the amount of knowledge that you'll get just stepping out and doing it.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of people won't, you know, they're not, they want to, they think it's a good idea. They hear these stories and want to be involved, and that sounds great. And I would love that, but you got to just do it.
Yeah.
You know, Nike that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's a, I don't remember what video I was watching, but it was a podcast, but I don't remember what they were talking about. But one of the things they were just simple is like, not just do it, but like do more, do more than what the next guy is willing to do. Like if another investor that's starting out and you're both starting out and they're not willing to go talk to 10 banks to find out which the best fit for them, talk to 20 contractors, you know, they kind of make fun of me. When we were first starting, I just went, like we were talking about earlier, I went to Lowe's, Home Depot, McCoy's, all the local lumber yards. Yeah. I just got my coffee in the morning.
Why would you
and
do
just
that?
Stood at the doors. I went there to set up our like a corporate accounts with like our perks, but I was like, well, I'm here, I'm gonna hang out. And I just watched people walk through the door. They're wearing hats or shirts or merch that showed that they were a contractor or they were in a company. I'd go ask for cards. I talked to them for a few minutes and just got to know like people in the community that were doing it. And when it came time, I had a phone book full of people to call, you know?
Yep.
And that's one of those things that, you know, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back with it, but like,
that's what it takes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it takes. Video, yeah. I had a lot of connections. I didn't realize how many connections I had. I made some doing that.
Yeah.
But after getting started and starting the social media content and getting videos out there, what we were doing, people that I knew that you were old clients or Facebook friends or people I knew that were friends of friends that we don't really know each other, but they see it, they come out of the woodworks. They're coming out, they're messaging you. One, either trying to get business with you, two, asking questions.
Yep.
But there's a tremendous amount of people that I've reconnected with over years of not talking that are in business for themselves or doing things that are like, hey man, what are you doing? What you got going on? That's awesome. You know, we get to actually have a conversation about, you know, what they got going on in their life with their business is mine, which rolls back into what we're wanting to do here, which leads into basically guest. We want to have guests. And I think, did you say it earlier? I said it. Like our main thing we wanted with a guest was you don't necessarily have to be self-employed.
No.
You could be doing side things. We want interest. We've got some people that are some musicians that step out of working for, you know, other people to pursue music. We got some pastors that are going to come talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's just doing something different than the normal 9-to-5, doing more.
Yep.
Than what your normal person is doing, going to work, coming home, going to bed, waking up, doing the whole same thing over.
You know, real estate agents, flippers. We got JT is going to come join us, our contractor, and kind of fill y'all in on our first flip and how, you know, we learned a lot with him and just how that side of the construction side goes and dealing with numbers and the lingo is it's crazy, the stuff that I never thought that I would even have to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, that it has come up. And yeah, I mean, young, old, female, male, we don't care. Like, we just want to hear everybody's side of the story because, you know, we want to learn. We want to grow as business owners and as dads and husbands and friends. And hopefully we have something to offer you guys. And hopefully the guests we bring on have something to offer. And that's really all we want. I mean, have a little fun, learn something new about ourselves and learn something new about other people in the community and see what everybody's doing, you know, because there's a lot of good ideas out there and people's stories are interesting. And I like to see where people come from and how they made it. Cause you know, like I said, I'll dive into mine one day, but it's pretty interesting too, how I got from where I was to where I am now. And, I know there's a lot more interesting stories than mine, so I'd like to hear them.
Yeah, and it can't be bad for your business or whatever you're doing. I mean, especially if you're like us and very new into it, you know, we might not get, you know, but 10 views, but that's 10 extra people that, you know, saw it. So come talk to us. Maybe those 10 people will give you some business. So
y'all give us some ideas, or if you see this and you're interested, hit us up.
Yeah.
And we'll get you on here. And I think it's going to be a good ride. I'm looking forward to it. And can't wait for the next one.
Yeah. The last few minutes of our talk, I'm going to put our email address right above us. So if you're wondering why that was already there, because it's going to be there before this part, that is if you're interested in coming, join us on the podcast, having a conversation. If you got certain topics you want to hear from us, or if you want to come talk to us about a specific topic to kind of promote your business and what you're doing, just email us, give us kind of an idea of who you are, what you do. And we'll definitely schedule a time to have you on. And that email will be up here. Like I said, it is thecomfortzonepc@gmail.com. And I'll put it in the description as well. But thanks, guys, for hanging out with us today. Oh, yeah. I'm Dalton.
I'm Brandon.
Peace.
Have a good one.